when my early morning day begins and the sunlight hits my face. I've got the sound of WGN 720 locked in place. Now I've tuned to you, and the day's all bright with me. Yeah, 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 yeah. The voice and wake up call, I know that it can only be the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, you should still be glad you're here and not there, but frankly, it turned out better than we thought it would, at least so far, last night, for South Florida and Central Florida, so far. Pardon me.
It's true.
Why is it I don't cough till I get in the studio?
It's something within the studio. The studio's strange. You walk in, it's like a meat locker. It's
seems
really cold.
To me that this studio should have pure air.
Maybe it's haunted.
Well, there's that, certainly. Yeah, yeah, there's certainly that.
I'll see you guys later.
Hi, Andy. How are you?
Good. How's it going?
We got a Cubs preview here in a second. All right, so here's the deal on Matthew, as discussed moments ago, but in case you missed it. Blows up last night. The Florida coast stays essentially offshore, 30 miles or so offshore. So the most serious winds have not hit the shore. However, storm surge is a big problem for Daytona and Georgia and the Carolinas as the day rolls on. So we'll continue to watch it, but so far, very lucky. Haiti has hundreds of lives lost so far from a direct hit, and they're still assessing the damage. This thing does appear it's going to do that weird fishhook loop and come back and sit off the coast of the Bahamas again, probably early next week. Mm-hmm. And whether it re-strengthens and comes back or not, there's another storm that it could pair with, so... Before everybody starts indicting weathermen and going, oh, everybody said it was going to be terrible. It's not terrible. It's terrible. It's plenty bad. Let's not grade it terrible. Or it wasn't terrible enough. That'll be Sunday night during the debate. But for right now, Florida has been very lucky, and we'll see how the day develops. At 6:12, who won the first divisional game last night?
Cleveland won game one at home, 5-4 over the Red Sox, and Toronto blew out Texas in Texas. 10-1.
10-1.
10-1. It was wow. 7 runs off of Cole Hamels in less than 5 innings.
Cubs play tonight.
Cubs do play tonight. John Lester against Johnny Cueto. A little after 8 o'clock tonight is when the first pitch will be thrown at Wrigley Field. And there are so many people who have been waiting what seems like 3 weeks for this game to start taking place.
Right.
It's only been 5 days.
Felt like 3 weeks.
It certainly did.
Why are the Cubs not starting Arrieta?
Well, if you look at the numbers down the stretch from August to September, the two best Cubs pitchers were John Lester and Kyle Hendricks.
So go with your heat. Yeah. Go with your guys.
Right. Plus, I think there's a little theory, too. I mean, obviously, you know, last year, Arrieta was the Cy Young Award winner and started the wild card game and won it, obviously. You know, this year, control and some things, command were a little bit of an issue late in the year for him. They're also looking, I think, at... try to go out and get a win early with the Bulldog, so to speak, Lester there. I think they wanted Hendricks to pitch at home, which makes sense for a young guy to have the support of the home crowd. And then you turn to the veteran Arrieta in game three, which will be the first game in San Francisco. So I think it sets up pretty well.
Do you think Arrieta shaves the beard at all during the playoffs? Doesn't touch it?
Oh, no.
Not even a trim.
Is that true?
I don't think it's as extreme as it is in hockey when the playoffs start. You know, everybody starts to grow the beard. Mm-hmm. If you've already had it, I think he'll probably
Where does a beard trend go away? I mean, it seems like it's stuck around a while.
Yeah, though. It has. I mean, I remember
my son's had a beard for
about 2 years right now.
2 years, yeah. And his wife Lauren loves it.
Yeah,
I'm not a fan. But again, I've been informed I no longer get a vote.
Wait, did she inform you of that?
Right.
Okay.
So, but the beard thing in guys in their 20s.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I think it's just because you can do it.
It's a millennial thing.
Do it because you can.
Well, see, I grow the goatee because it's a distraction from my bald head.
Ah.
In your 20s, don't you want to look as young as you can look?
Yeah.
You would think.
When Benedict Cumberbatch shaved his beard, I think he now looks like a teenager.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Benedict Farfignugan, are we talking about the same guy?
Yeah, our intern, yeah.
What's his real name? Do you know? It's like his real name is like Bob Smith or something.
Yeah. George.
But when he goes down to the George Clooney scrubble, by the way, if he's listening now, George Clooney is an actor.
Yes.
A slightly older actor.
That old man.
But yeah, it looks good. The scrubble thing looks good. Scrubble?
The stubble.
Actually, that could be a word.
It's scruff and stubble together.
Yeah, scrubble.
That started, the stubble was like the McDreamy thing, you know, the Grey's Anatomy, Patrick Dempsey look.
Yeah.
It's now it's the full beard.
Yeah, it's more of a lazy thing.
Is it?
Yeah.
And it's not, you know what, I thought so as well, but it's not, to make the scrubble, the word I just invented.
I love it.
To make the scrubble look decent, you have to tend to it.
You do have to, you have to take care of it, especially the neckline.
Yeah.
You know. That's where it really...
Neck beard. That's a hot look.
Kyle Orton. Miss him for that and that only.
At 6:15, Blackhawks open next Wednesday night. What are they doing this weekend?
They are wrapping up the preseason tomorrow, as a matter of fact, in St. Louis. The team they're going to play on opening night at the United Center.
Mm-hmm.
A 6:30 pre and a 7 o'clock puck drop right here.
Yeah, I'll be out there doing... I'm doing my traditional season opening, juggling flaming hockey pucks,
nice.
As I've done for years. Yeah, so that'll be great.
Awesome.
They always get annoyed when I drop them on the ice and it melts tiny holes in the ice.
Yeah, I know. That's a problem, especially if they've worked so hard to get that ice in immaculate shape for the opener.
Lou Manfredini coming up. We'll take whiny questions from the staff. And if you have anything going on in your house, you know, that you'd like to know about, including a poltergeist, all you need to do is call. First caller wins, 312-981-7200. Texters, again, texters, please text early. Don't text at 6:45 when Lou's on TV. Text before the segment so I can get to as many of you as I can. My friend Alex Stone from ABC News after 7, Hamp after 7:30. We like him as well. Sean Wayans is in today?
Yeah,
I didn't
cool.
know that. Sean Wayans coming in. That's good. We like Sean. What's he doing in town? Is he here to see me? Do I have dinner with Sean Wayans?
Maybe.
Sean Wayans at Chicago Improv.
You have reservations.
Yeah, for the two of us. Dean Richards after 8, and Kevin Powell prepares his baseball extravaganza of coverage. He will be on the road with the Cubs throughout the playoffs as well. Preview of the Chicago Marathon later, and a young man named Tom Skilling on the show before 10.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are...
It's the time of the show.
For live from Channel 9, I assume.
I am.
Hi, buddy. How are you?
How are you?
Doing fine. You ever, when you're doing a show in this studio, you ever get like a your throat closing up on you? Because basically, I think I'm allergic to this studio, which is too bad because it's a phenomenal studio.
Wow.
But we're going to have to move the show. We're going to have to move the show to a closet upstairs somewhere.
Really? Yeah. You think it's any better up there?
No, it's probably.
You think we could all fit in there?
Right. And I remember before I was fired here in what was it, 2010? Remember when I got fired and I left?
Like eons ago.
Wait, I have a question. You know, now that it's been announced that our general manager is going to be leaving, are you already vying to get fired again?
I'd like to see him fire me before he leaves.
No, but I mean, now you're like, oh, this studio, I don't like it. I think, you know, with whoever comes in next, you're going to be like, I've been complaining about the studio forever.
No, I'm going to be, but I will be an attitude problem after he leaves. Yeah, there's no question.
Really?
Will be?
Wait, will be. Exactly.
No, I'm going to go full diva as soon as he walks out.
Oh, God.
And that would be different than now, how?
I'm part diva. But okay. Do you guys remember?
I can see Andrea's face and Dave's right now. I don't even have to. Through the radio, I can see
Well, you can see Dave's.
Face.
It's a neat trick because Andy Mazur's here.
Oh, I can see Andy's face.
Yeah.
Show me your face, Andy.
There you go, Lou.
Thank you.
But if you guys remember when we were on this first floor completely, when the offices were on this first floor, we had carpeting that went back to when this station started in the 20s. It's amazing any of us are alive.
It was the same carpeting that was at LaGuardia Airport, which is the nastiest thing you've ever seen in your life.
The worst.
Yeah, you walk on the carpet, and it just the screams of ghosts that died from
it's
the
Whoville.
Carpeting.
It's Whoville. That's where you can Horton hear the Whoville.
Yeah.
Right.
But the studio, I don't know. I love this studio. This studio is fantastic. You look out the window. There's Michigan Avenue, one of the great streets in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what it is, but every time I come in here in the morning, I just feel like my throat's closing.
You're overwhelmed with joy.
You think maybe it's stress. Can't you tell?
I think what we do is what we should do is get a sponsor to get you like an air purifier in there, and then you can talk about how lovely it is in there.
Do you believe in air purifiers? Do they work?
Oh yeah.
Oh, they do.
Yeah, they got to be the problem is that most people in a home What they don't do is they have to run 24/7, and they have to be sized correctly. And so the whole idea is it's scrubbing the air. It's grabbing everything. It's got to go through filters and then kick it back out. So
we should get one of those. That's a great idea.
It's a shame we don't know anybody in the hardware business. I mean, why are we worried about a sponsor? Can't you handle this, Ace Hardware?
You know, back when the Cubs were on WGN and the dear Ron Santo was around, do you remember when I brought them an air conditioner for the booth?
I do remember.
Remember that? Oh, Andy. Yeah, Andy remembers those days. And we rolled that thing up there and because one night we were at a game and I was with my wife and we walked into that booth, which was un-air conditioned, as Andy remembers.
Correct.
Huge window, and poor Ronnie was so sweaty that his toupee was like turned sideways.
Yeah, because it would slip.
We used to pack him in ice.
And Pat as well. Pat Hughes. It was so hot. And my
Pat's
wife
toupee would move as well.
You have to do something. I go, and I looked into, you know, literally working with sponsors to get AC in there, but it was this whole deal. So we rolled this portable AC unit. They used to take this hose that had to take the hot air out.
The hose ran in the hallway.
Yeah, the hose ran out the window.
Like, oh, is when you were dripping up, drainage you water hose on the people below?
It just kicked out some extra moisture. But it had these two little pipes that Ed, who was our store manager, one of the stores made, it looked like a little party hat that pointed the cold air at them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a godsend to the dear Ron Santo.
People think that doing games at Wrigley couldn't be more glamorous. The stadium is 1,000 years old.
Mm-hmm.
They had Roman sacrifices in that stadium.
Right.
And upstairs where the press boxes are, the hallway was built for people who were 5 feet tall and 114 pounds.
Yeah.
So the worst thing in the world is when fat sports writers get up and they go to try to get the free food, because then it's like 5 o'clock on the Eisenhower.
Yeah. And there's TV cameras in the hallway.
And TV cameras in the hallway and cables. Yep. And
that booth was so tiny.
Still
and
is.
So hot.
Yeah.
And so hot.
It was a nice
Having
thought,
said
though.
That, yeah, Cubs start the playoffs tonight.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is, you know, there are worse problems to have.
Right.
Very true.
All right, 626. Andy, do you have any questions?
You know, I've been in contact with Lou about this question.
Andy.
I feel like it's an episode of My Cousin Vinny with my windows and my screens.
What's wrong with your windows and screens?
The windows are terrible.
We need new windows.
I need new windows.
Yeah, yeah. Didn't I talk to you about
did.
This already?
Yeah, you did.
What'd you
one
tell
of these
him?
Days,
get
I'm
new
going to get on it, yeah.
Did you tell
Andy
him
has all
windows?
The information. He just needs to act on it.
I just need to act upon it.
And write the check.
Yes. That's the hardest part.
Andy's been texting me, emailing me.
Right.
I'm very responsive.
Yes. Yes, actually you are.
Part with the money.
I know,
you
I
can
need
do
to.
It.
That's the problem.
I need to be able to see out these windows.
Yeah.
That's what the problem
is. Yeah, windows and doors. I mean, look, they are, it's a huge investment. I get it. And everybody's always so worried about it. As far as, man, so much money. And this is an area, too, just as a point of reference, where you get what you pay for. And while everyone's budget is, you know, is their budget, when you go with vinyl windows, which are kind of your entry-level point, where we live in this market, you can't look at that as a long-term solution. It's a 10-year solution.
Well, you get warping, right?
Well, because
weather warping.
So much weather extreme with the sun and the humidity and the cold, that you just have to go into it knowing that. If you do a composite window or a wood window with aluminum cladding wrapped on the outside, that's a 20-plus year solution.
Yeah, I had the siding one windows one guys come out a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. redid the entire house, and you think, well, how big a deal could it actually be? It's unbelievable the difference in the air conditioning in the
mm-hmm.
summer
it's
and the heat in the winter.
Right.
It's crazy.
Right, and they work.
Yeah, they actually do work.
Right.
Anybody else? Questions, Andrea? Your house all right?
Yeah, I'm going to talk about staining my cabinets, but I know we've talked about that a little bit before.
Ask Andy for the money.
I know. Yeah. That's what I...
I'm writing checks.
I need to pull the trigger on
is
that.
Is Annette on the phone?
Lou, my buckthorn is exploding.
We can get back to him on that. How about you,
still
Sandberg?
A problem.
Do we have time? I have a question.
Sandberg, first, then you. Stand by, seventh floor.
I would just want to... You know, Lou sometimes thinks that I need to relax a little bit, but...
Sometimes?
By the way, not just Lou. No.
But every time I ask a Lou a question, I act on it immediately.
Why doesn't that surprise me?
Andrea and Andy in here. They've got old questions that they're still asking you about that they're not pulling any triggers. So I think they should
Mary's
be banned.
Mary's got a Rolodex. She just goes, all right, I'm going to go down the B questions that I have in the B slot.
I mean, and Dave has had this buckthorn problem for months.
Right.
I have my annual heating checkup happening today at 9:30 a.m. because last week Lou said you have to have that appointment.
Absolutely.
So I did. Yeah. My sprinklers are being turned off next Wednesday because it's that
Mary
time.
Hasn't had a cold in 5 years because the germs are afraid of her. Susan Berkus, you have a question about your house?
I have so many questions that I cannot narrow it down.
Okay, good. That would be helpful. All right, good job, Susan. That's excellent. All right, Susan, just Susan's house is no longer livable, Lou. We'll just have to deal with that.
Condemned.
Let's go to Sharon, the actual first caller and a big, big winner. Good morning, Sharon.
Good morning.
How are you? I'm doing fine. How are you?
Good, thank you. We have a question. We have back-to-back toilets in bathrooms that are back-to-back, and when we flush one toilet, the other toilet starts to flush. It sounds like it's going to start to flush, and the water level goes down.
Okay.
What might that indicate?
You've got something. So the way that essentially, if you can imagine, it's like a T, and where they meet in the part that goes down, the downward leg of the T, there is a clog there. And you're between where the toilet evacuates all the solids into that T.
Wow, I hate this discussion.
Good morning, everybody.
Yeah.
You probably need to pull the toilet and have a plumber run a rod into that larger pipe to clear it.
Yep, that's what you need to do. Yep, do that.
That's the problem.
That's the problem. Sharon, by the way, for being on the show, Sharon, and being the first caller, you're a big winner. An April Airfare Wi-Fi. April Air Wi-Fi thermostat.
It'd
be great if they gave airfare out. Allowing you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone is brought to you by American Weathermakers, home of the 60-Minute Men. Call 855-958-HVAC. Last question goes to Steve Grzanich. What's going on?
Okay, so my kitchen sink in my kitchen has one of those extendable from the faucets. You can make it into a hose. It's a metal connector, so you can spray stuff.
Yeah, he knows what that is.
Okay.
I like the hand motions I'm watching, though.
Yeah, right. So I thought at first it was leaking, that maybe there was a connection bad because I'm seeing water under the sink come out. But now I see it coming from potentially the garbage disposal.
Oh, you got to move. Yes, you got problems.
It's gone from a little drip now to a serious drip, and I can't isolate where that water's coming from.
Okay. With the garbage disposal, the first thing you want to check is there's a ring underneath the sink that tightens the disposal. It's like a metal ring, and you'll see it three little loops. And somewhere there may be a wrench that was left with the garbage disposal. Or what you do is you take a screwdriver into that loop that is parallel with the bottom of the sink. And you put that screwdriver in and you turn it, if you're looking from the top down, counterclockwise to tighten it up.
Okay.
All right? That could be one point.
Why counterclockwise? I thought it was lefty-loosey, righty-tighty.
Well, because you're looking from the top down.
Ah, yeah.
So... Or, if it's an older disposal, sometimes there's seals internally. It could be leaking from the actual body of the disposal. And if you notice the water, if you put one of the tests you can do is take some toilet paper. Once you do that tightening issue, wrap toilet paper like a turban just underneath there.
Okay, now you're just making stuff.
No. Because it reacts to the water.
Oh.
And so if it's dry, make sure it's dry first. Then wrap that and see if it doesn't leak there and it's still leaking below, it's coming internally from the unit itself, and you have to switch out the whole disposal.
That's what
I'll do. Check the fittings, though, too, where it all connects to the sink and make sure that's all snug.
Steve will be honest. Steve, let's be honest. You have no idea what he said to you.
Actually, that's a very smart, I think. So could I also do that toilet paper on the other places where I think maybe water's coming from?
The toilet paper trick.
Excellent.
I think you've got a leak, Steve.
That's
wrap
great.
Your head in toilet paper.
I will. I'm going as Halloween for that.
847 text for my dog has repeatedly peed on one spot of my oak floors and they're turning dark. Can this be fixed? Now, Lou, my suggestion would be to have the dog pee on the rest of the floor so the color is even.
Well, we got to figure out why the dog keeps doing that. So we need to change that behavior. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, one of the things you can do in that one area is garden fencing that you can put outside. You can take some of that and place it in that area to keep the dog from going there because they're creatures of habit. As far as getting rid of that one spot, it's going to be tough because it's soaked into the wood. There is a product called Howard's Restore Finish, which specifically says not to use it on hardwood floors. But you can try it just in that little spot gently with the grain to see if you can blend it in. but there's a pretty good chance that won't work. You'd have to replace the boards in that floor.
Lou, I put a skylight in the ceiling, but now the people upstairs are complaining. What should I do?
Oh, no.
Wow.
That's very funny.
Change your behavior.
That's very funny. Lou, I power washed my porch. How long do I wait before I give it a clear coat or sealer? And what minimum temperature should I be dealing with?
No clear coat, because that's like a floor wax. It really all depends on the weather. I mean, if we get three or four days of dry weather, then you should be okay. You want to use a semi-transparent deck stain. That's what really protects the wood, is the color and the stain. And one of my favorite products is one called Penofin, which is made with rosewood oil. Which
spell
is
that, will you?
P-E-N-O-F-I-N.
We have questions about a trellis and limestone steps and things. We're going to send these to you so you can spend your day dealing with them.
Awesome.
Power washing, various other things. I know you got to go do TV. A beautiful farm kitchen table. Somebody needs help with that. But I think the 312 wraps it up best with the question, what the hell is buckthorn?
Buckthorn is a type of weed that grows along the ground that is very evasive. So it takes over. And so there's not a lot. It's very resilient, and you just have to keep pulling it. And it takes over your lawn if you're not careful.
Is that good, Dave? Does that help you?
Lou, my buckthorn is
Where
exploding.
Is the old man?
I don't know. He's just so focused.
Is that a secret buckthorn mission?
Is that what it is?
Yes.
Sponsored by American Weathermakers. You can watch Lou on TV, and you can hear him here and hear him tomorrow morning.
Mañana.
Thanks, buddy.
Love you.
Love you, Beck. It's 6:35. Man, are we late. I blame Lou. And the big story is next.
Your mother was a hamster, and your father smelt of elderberry.
How many times have we said that? I will fart in your general direction. John Cleese. Tickets for you. First correct answer to questions I will now pose are winners. Hang on. Even if you're deep in line here, you may still win. It's Mike in Blue Island. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Steve. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, good.
So you think you're a Monty Python expert, huh?
Man, I watch that every night on that Channel 11.
Man, I'm going to give you an easy one. Name all the original cast members.
Oh, okay. And the cameraman?
Six guys. Come on, man. Six guys.
John Cleese, Michael Palin.
I thought you'd stop at John Cleese. That could have been funny. John Cleese, Michael Palin. Good. Four more.
Graham. Elliot.
Graham Elliot.
He's a chef.
Yeah, Graham Elliot is a chef. Graham Cracker, possibly. Is that what you're thinking of?
No.
All right, hold the line. I like you, so I'm not going to hang up on you. Mike, I'm going to come back to you. Dan, you think you're a Monty Python fan?
Oh, maybe. I'll try.
John Cleese went to which university? Oxford, Cambridge, or Faber College?
I'll say Faber College.
Faber College is incorrect. That was the Animal House University. Dan, I want you to think about what you've done here. Hold the line for a consolation press. Tom is in Elgin. Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Oh, not too bad.
We still don't have an answer to that question. Oxford or Cambridge?
I'll say Oxford.
Also incorrect. Hold the line if you would, please. By the way, I'm assuming Sandberg's going to give them something. She may just hang up on them. Let me go back to Mike here now.
I don't like their chances.
All right, Mike, who else can you name of these six cast members?
I was thinking, and I can't think of any.
What about Graham?
What is your question?
What about Graham Chapman? Would that be one of them?
Chapman, yeah. Graham Chapman.
Good job by you.
And he passed away.
What about Eric?
Eric Idle.
Very good. What about Terry? Terry.
Oh, Terry.
Keeping up with the Terry rhymes.
Jones.
Terry Jones. Very good.
Yeah.
What about, did you say Michael Palin?
Yes, I did. I said Michael Palin.
Oh, there's one other Terry. Terry.
The guy that does all the
Are you talking about Terry Gilliam? Is that the guy you're trying to think of?
Yeah, Terry Gilliam.
Oh, good job. You've named all six. Congratulations, man. You're a winner.
All right.
That's highly entertaining.
I got to tell you, that's very impressive because he knew those cold.
Completely.
No prompting whatsoever from me. Jim is in Clarendon Hills. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning.
Hey, lighten up, Jim. This is supposed to be entertaining.
Okay.
You didn't, Jim, you with me?
Yeah, I'm with you.
I don't think you slept on a mattress for a mattress last night, did you, Jim?
No, I didn't.
Grumpy. All right, Jim, here you go. Who was the first of the original cast members to leave the group? And keep in mind, we're giving away John Cleese tickets.
You're giving away John Cleese, so I think we've been the first one to leave, I guess.
John Cleese, that's exactly right. Ding, 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 ding. Would you have gotten that without the hint?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure I was all over that one.
Yeah, no, I think you're lying. All right, hold the line. You're a big winner. All right, so Mike and Jim both win pairs of tickets. We'll probably have more later for this. John Cleese tickets go on sale this morning at 10 a.m. It's a 3 o'clock January 22nd show. It just strikes me as funny.
Well, because it's the movie, and then you'll probably have time to talk. And
right, so what time are they showing the movie? Noon?
No, it starts at 3. And then they have the discussion after.
Oh, I see. So 3 o'clock is the movie, and then the discussion hits at 5:30.
Yeah, by then it'll be
time
for dinner.
We're all in bed by 8.
Well, yeah, some of us.
This is actually perfect timing for me. Chicago Theater Box Office, where you get tickets. Call them at 800-745-3000. That's 800-745-3000. It is 6:56. We're back with the news at 7. After 7 o'clock, Alex Stone reports from Florida and the heart of the new threat zone, the cone of threat. What is a cone of danger? Cone of something. There's a term for it.
Silence.
No, it's not silence. We'll come back with that after 7 as well on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Our crews have been out through every mobile home within Orange County on their loudspeakers, warning people of the impending storm that's coming.
We are still getting that powerful wind and rain, but we do not want to be near that eye wall. That's what officials are trying to keep people away from. You don't want to be near that eye wall that's talking about 100 mile per hour winds, 120 mile per hour winds. It's just too dangerous.
I talked to my detective captain earlier today. And I asked him, do you have body bags? Are you prepared for mass casualties? Because if people do not leave and we get 140 mile an hour wind gusts, we are going to have fatalities.
7-Eleven, so far, a better outcome than was expected, but certainly the East Coast not out of the woods. Alex Stone from ABC News joins us now. Where are you, my friend?
Hey, Steve, I'm in Charleston, so we are on the northern end of where Matthew is going to hit, and they're getting ready here. That we're still probably about 12 to 24 hours away from the brunt of the storm hitting here, and by the time it gets here, it looks like it'll probably be a strong Category 1, a low 2, but the bigger concern than the wind right now is going to be that storm surge. They're looking at 4 to 6 feet of storm surge coming in. And that's going to be on top of all the rain that this area is going to get. And this area is under a flash flood watch right now. So they're getting ready for it. They're concerned. They're telling people, get out now. Now's the time to go before that storm surge comes up. But, you know, some people aren't listening and have decided that they're going to stick around.
It's one of America's great cities. I lived there for a couple of years, and they know how to handle hurricanes. But it's called the Low Country for a reason. And the water you're talking about, the storm surge, you can have waves on top of the storm surge. So it's like filling up a bathtub and then throwing waves on top of the water at the top of your tub. So is that high enough to get over the battery wall in parts?
Well, and that's the question. They think it may be, and that's why they want people to get out. And Mayor Nikki Haley, or Governor Nikki Haley, has been repeatedly in the media saying this is a serious storm. You need to go now. There is still time to get out. They have done the reverse lanes of traffic so that all lanes of traffic are heading out on the interstate. And if you get on that interstate, you're heading one direction. You're heading out of town. Flights are going to stop heading out of Charleston in a couple of hours. The airlines have canceled everything after about noon. And then the airport will shut down, and they plan to be shut down all of tomorrow as the storm continues to hit this area. What they don't know right now, though, Steve, is because the track of this thing has been so wonky in the last couple of hours and last couple of days that they don't know if it's going to slam into South Carolina or most of the models showing it's going to go along the coast, which then would be more of a storm surge issue, pushing that water into the neighborhoods around Charleston and in Charleston itself. So They're concerned about the flooding here.
But even still, Alex, why chance it? Why not just leave and evacuate like all the officials are telling everybody to do? Is there a reason why people are insisting on staying and waiting and being lackluster and getting out?
Well, yeah, it's the same thing that we hear on wildfires in California. It is that they don't want to go because they want to stay with their home and they want to protect their home and that they want to be able to fix any problem that might pop up. If there's a hole in the roof, they want to try to put a tarp on it or put a patch, so that they want to be there and they don't want to go anywhere. They don't want to go live in a shelter. They want to be in their own home. So you've got folks who are deciding not to go. Now, 280,000 people have decided to evacuate. Those who are staying, there's not a lot for them to do in town. It's pretty much deserted right now. The stores, the restaurants, the gas stations are all shut down. They can't get gas anywhere at this point. So people are being told, if you stay, hunker down and know that rescuers may not come and get you, that if the floodwaters are coming up, if the storm surge comes in, and there are hurricane-strength winds, even if it's a Category 1 storm at that time, the rescuers aren't going to come in at that point, and you're just going to have to wait until they can get you once the winds die down. So it's a risky proposition, but some folks have decided, and we keep hearing from people, hey, look, I survived Hurricane Hugo so many years ago, and that was a huge storm that came right into Charleston, that they feel that if this is a strong Category 1, they can withstand this no problem.
Yeah, and by the way, when I said they're stupid, those are the people I'm referring to. The people that go, I can handle it. The I can handle it types are way different than the types that are elderly or sickly or need to be there for a million different reasons that nobody can explain. It's the folks that have the option to leave and choose not to and can get in the way and actually have first responders risk their lives to try to rescue them if needed. We've been lucky so far, Alex, because this thing has followed a track, which is the best possible outcome to stay 30 or 40 miles off the coast of Florida. It's not like Florida is off the hook, because certainly they've been battered by wind and rain, and there's been some damage, but nothing like what Haiti went through. And really, it's this path and track. Most of the models look like it is tracking a little bit closer to Charleston. Are you reading that the same way?
Yeah, it looks exactly the same way now, and you're right. Florida has dodged a bullet so far. We don't know what's going to happen in the next 6 to 12 hours, but so far things are looking better in Florida. That's not necessarily good news for here because of the way that it's tracking, that now it looks like it'll come barreling right into here. And even if it doesn't make landfall in South Carolina, all that water that it's churning as it's pushing north and then the coastline jets out toward the east, it's like if you were going straight ahead at 80 miles an hour and then all of a sudden you slammed into a brick wall, that water has to go somewhere. And the thought is it will go right into the neighborhoods here in Charleston. I can tell you, for the first time since we got here last night, it's now starting to rain. It's a little bit breezy out here, not too bad, but the rain, the outer bands are beginning to show themselves now.
Where are you downtown?
No, we're actually just across the river, over the bridge across the river, and there are concerns about that. We found one hotel that is brand new within the last year, and it's got the hurricane windows. They say they're going to stay open. It's concrete. It's made out of brick. But once you're across the bridge here, there's no getting back across the bridge to get out of here because of wind. So we'll see how it goes over the next couple hours.
All right, we'll check back in with you. Be safe, and thanks as always. There's a lot of people at ABC doing fine work. Nobody doing finer work than Alex Stone.
Despite Matthew's onslaught, plan on staying here in places like Juneau Beach. And we've got one couple I'd like to introduce you to, America. Let's step over here. They are snowbirds. They are from Wisconsin. These are the Vosses. We've got, Milton and Annette, correct?
Yes.
Guys, you're staying through this?
Yes.
Any huge fears?
None. None. It's just another adventure. It's like a blizzard in Wisconsin. Hunker down for 3 days.
What steps have you guys taken to prepare?
Everything. Water, little sandbagging. All our windows face the west, so we're excited about it in a way. We wish we could see out. Once we get back home, we're all shuttered in, but till then, we'll be out here for a while.
Oh, for crying out loud, look, there's Cousin Harold blowing into the Atlantic. Come on, people. Use your heads. Dan Hampton coming up. Yesterday, Hillary Clinton's campaign did something that they got a lot of grief on, your internets for, which I think is a ridiculous argument to make. But secondarily, it would have been a stupid thing for them to do. Allow me to explain. Obviously, last night during the coverage of Hurricane Matthew, you had a lot of people watching the Weather Channel. Anytime there is a big storm, what do? They go to the news networks and they go to the Weather Channel. So Hillary Clinton's campaign was planning on doing a quick advertising buy of, it wasn't a bunch of money in the big picture, but I think it was $65,000 or $70,000 worth of commercials, which on the Weather Channel with surge pricing is, you know, I don't know, what is that, 15 spots or something, whatever. Maybe less than that. But at any rate, last night they pulled the commercial buy before they actually started running the commercials because a bunch of people online said they were exploiting the storm. What?
No.
Because here's the deal. You want your commercial to be seen by the largest possible audience. Now, I didn't see the commercial, but unless Hillary Clinton was online going, this storm and all that good that comes from it, including everyone's whose life was saved, is brought to you by Hillary Clinton for president. I mean, you know, if it's a commercial for the campaign and it runs, it's because you want the largest audience to see it. So in that vein, on paper, it's smart. Here's why it's stupid. The anticipation and the reaction, the overreaction in the internet, somebody in the campaign should have been smart enough to realize it. In other words, there's nothing wrong with the idea, but it's still kind of a dumb idea to do it.
Right. No, I completely agree. It is a dumb idea. But also, too, you can't get away from it right now. We're 30 days, literally, until this election, 31. You're going to see these ads everywhere, on every channel.
And you're going to see the town hall debate on Sunday night. I'll live tweet that. You're welcome.
Thanks.
Last night, Trump did a rehearsal, though he claims it wasn't in New Hampshire. He was talking about the polls as part of this because, as you know, since the first debate, he's been dropping.
So these just came out. Remember, whenever we won, I like to talk about polls. If we're doing badly, I don't know about polls. No, it's true. When we do badly, I don't know about polls, right? But when we're doing well, I know about polls. I used to drive Chris Christie's here, our friend. Where's Chris? Right over here. Governor Dunn. And he was a tough competitor. And he said, you used to drive me crazy when you talk about those polls. Why did you talk about the polls? I said, because I was number one. But if I was number two or something, we wouldn't be talking.
See, that to me is likable Trump. Because that's Trump in a weird way making fun of himself.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's going, yeah, if I'm number one, we talk about it. If I'm not, we don't. Well, we didn't have to like him for long. On the debate prep, well, everybody said, so this is a rehearsal. Because it's a town hall event with a shot clock. They have a clock that shows you how long you're talking. So in other words, you can practice the length of your answers. So it was a rehearsal, wasn't it, Donnie?
They were saying, this is practice for Sunday. This isn't practice. This has nothing to do with Sunday. We're just here because we just wanted to be here. And, you know, Hillary, frankly, they talk about debate prep. That's not debate prep. She's resting. She's resting. And I want to be with the American people. I want to be with the people from New Hampshire. And she wants to rest. Debate prep.
Clinton is actually rehearsing at an undisclosed location. She's not napping.
Wrestling.
And there's great concern in sources last night. Good sources last night said that there is great concern at the highest levels of the Trump campaign. In other words, Kellyanne Conway and the guy from Breitbart you don't hear about anymore, that he's going to blow another one. Because if he does as poorly Sunday night as he did in the first debate, we may be done here. He needs a good showing Sunday night, and they literally can't get him to focus. And Sandberg, who is the author that we had on a couple of times that wrote the Trump book back in the 80s that said he's got Tony something, wasn't it? They got ADD out the window, couldn't get him to focus at all. Tim O'Doyle, one of those. But at any rate, he's the guy that's been out there publicly saying, I couldn't get this guy to focus on talking about his own life for more than a few minutes at a time. And not because he's so busy, it's just because he gets bored really, really easily. And Tim O'Brien. So when people who have worked with him on that close level know that he's got a problem, and Kellyanne Conway and company know he's got a problem, they're significantly worried about Sunday night. Speaking of Kellyanne Conway, one of the things that's most frustrating about watching these surrogates for both sides is you hear the same yap over and over again. and their candidate never, ever, 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 ever does anything wrong. Here's a stretch.
I think Donald Trump got no credit for being gracious to Secretary Clinton, asking her, should I call you Secretary Clinton, when he was calling, she was calling him Donald, at the end pulling his punches about Bill Clinton and the women and the way Hillary Clinton treated those women, blaming and shaming them in the 1990s when it was revealed her husband was having those affairs. He got no credit for being gracious and restrained.
But he does need a win Sunday night, doesn't he?
He needs a win on November 8th, and we're headed that way.
She is widely regarded as a really nice person who's really smart politically. She's got to get up in the morning and go, what the hell can I say today that I didn't say yesterday? Because that's beyond a stretch. I'm surprised she didn't pull a muscle.
I'm completely surprised, too.
So Donald Trump, the media should be standing up and giving Donald Trump credit for not bringing up Bill Clinton's affairs.
And asking her what she wants to be called.
All right, come on.
I got nothing.
But you may have missed this. Trump last night, well, I'll roll it.
I don't care how sick you are. I don't care if you just came back from the doctor and he gave you the worst possible prognosis, meaning it's over. You won't be around in 2 weeks. Doesn't matter. Hang out till November 8th. Get out and vote. And then all we're going to say is we love you and we will remember you always.
Hey, don't die. Wait until after the
election. What a dick. Oh, don't die until November 9th. It's 7:30.
If you've got the worst possible news, don't get your affairs in order. Don't talk to your family, your spouse.
Worst possible news, you showed up at that town hall and you thought it was a movie theater instead and Dad decided to stick around for a while. That's bad news. Doctor told you you're dying. Hang out. Vote for me. Big story next. 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
He's the worst quarterback that has played in the NFL the last 5 years.
Period.
Loser. And that's embarrassing. We look like losers.
And they weren't ready. Weren't ready.
He went from all Sean to some Sean to no Sean in about a month here. If you're not going to help us, get out of the damn way.
Period.
It's almost like he's paralyzed by indecision.
And folks, I got a better word for it, Danny. How about, could it be possible this kid takes scared to death pill?
Could be. 7:41, coming up about 7:42, actually. Hall of Famer Dan Hampton joins us after a win. How about that?
Hey, first time. Let's try to keep this thing going.
That would be very nice, because right now we're trending at 4-12, and we're going to need a few more than that. What do you think of the Brian Hoyer situation, and when will Mr. Cutler play football again?
Well, you know, I got to tell you, this whole thing is really getting interesting, because we all know that Jay Cutler has been less than advertised in his, what would it be, 8 years here, and that a lot of the fans are ready to move on. And all that being said, I keep saying, well, who are you going to get? You know, everybody wants a change, but who are you going to get? So here along comes Brian Hoyer, who had played in five different cities. He has a couple of good games, back-to-back 300-yard games. One we lost, one we won. But all that being said, now all of a sudden, where Jay Cutler was trying to get back on the field a week ago, trying in practice on Wednesday, a week later, he doesn't even try. And methinks there's something going on. And I just want to say, keep this in the back of your head. You know where the guy Adam Gase went, and he's having trouble with his quarterback down in Miami. So once the hurricane blows through, I think there may be some developments as far as this story goes. But up until then, hey, guess what? Brian Hoyer has the full backing of John Fox, the offensive staff. They're saying, hey, he's our starter. So away we go.
Andy Mazur's here. Say hi to the Hall of Famer.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Maze, great to hear you.
Appreciate that. And I wanted to ask you about more offensive stuff here. Jordan Howard coming into the game, a fifth round draft choice nobody had really heard of.
Andy, clearly the Jordan Howard era has begun.
And it was interesting to watch how tough this kid ran. I loved watching it.
Well, when he was drafted, I remember saying, "Hey, this kid, we got him in the fifth round. Are you kidding me? Every time I watched, channel surfing a year ago, Indiana, who is not, contending for the Big Ten title every year, every time I watched him, he was running for, 110, 150, 200 yards. And I'm like, wow, this kid can play. Well, when we drafted him, I watched him a little bit in training camp. And like everyone else, you know, we've been wonderfully surprised that he's made the the transition. He's more physical than any of the other backs we have. And right now, with the offensive line in flux, with the backup quarterback, with injuries at receiver, all these different things, the old adage, be your own blocker. Well, he has a lot more of that to offer than the other guys. And so it's really fortunate that he's healthy. He's ready to go. 111 yards last week. He's got to be thinking, hey, we can do the same thing. Everybody's punched holes in the Colt defense the first month of the season. So why not us?
Why aren't the Colts any better? It can't be your say, can it?
A lot of it has to do with, the direction that the management wants to go. Okay, how are you going to build this team? Get a quarterback, then we build around it. Well, a lot of times when you get a quarterback like Andrew Luck, who's the highest paid player in football, doesn't leave many scraps on the plate for other players. So a lot of those, the third defensive tackle, the third receiver, the offensive guard, all of those salaries are diminished because of, one guy making more than anyone else. And so it has a ripple effect. But all that being said, Ryan Grigson is the general manager, and he came onto the scene 6, 7, 8 years ago and made some really good picks. Well, not so much the last 3 or 4 years. He's whiffing, and they just don't have the talent, and especially at the line of scrimmage. Their offensive line is in disarray. Their best defender is Robert Mathis, who's damn near as old as Andy is. And,
well, that's old. I'm just really saying, old.
Yeah, I'm just saying they are not the team that, was able to mount a Super Bowl push every year like we saw them for, the years when Peyton was there at the end.
Yeah, I tell you, it's apparently gotten a lot worse than we thought. Kaz was offered a one-game deal for this Sunday for the Colts, and Kaz can't run anymore. I mean, literally hired someone to run for him.
And how do you make this stuff up? I don't know. Everybody goes, the players are bigger, better conditioned and prepared. All I know is, they can't make it through one game. Kevin White now is on the IR. Alshon couldn't practice. Eddie Royal's got a calf. He can't practice. I really feel like both of those guys will be available.
But it's not like these guys need practice, Hamp. They're in the zone.
That's all. And when you listen to OB and I and Kaz on the post game, we are incredulous that not only can they not practice, we don't know if they can play. So, this whole thing is really, skewed. And I don't, I keep saying that the really good teams, Denver, and you can mock Denver and you can say what you want about Denver, but Denver has started 4-0 3 out of the last 4 years. Now, I was on a lot of good teams, and that's the way you have to approach the season. And it's an all hands on deck, and okay, we've got a calf, we got an owie, we've got this and that. It doesn't matter. You just suck it up and you play. And next thing you know, you're in December, and then it's time to get ready. And it toughens you mentally and physically and all the. And I said, here it is, week 5, and what is it? Cam Meredith is going to be our go-to receiver. This isn't the way they promised it back in August.
Now, team matters. Team matters in the NFL probably more than any other sport. You got Denver, you got Philadelphia, you got the Vikings, all playing quarterbacks that nobody thought were ready, and they're all undefeated. So you explain it to me. All right, predictions. Andy, what do you got?
I got the Bears keeping the good times rolling. I think they're going to win a low-scoring game, 21-14.
Really?
Yeah.
You sober?
No.
What do you got, Hamp?
27-20, Bears win, and then we win against Jacksonville the following week. We get to 3-3. Imagine that.
Colts 28, Bears 14.
Rut rope.
Grumpy.
What time are you on Sunday?
We are on at 3 o'clock, going 3 to 6.
All right, buddy. It's fantastic.
Hey, it's a cup-free day, so make sure everybody tunes in.
Absolutely. You know what? It's good debate pregame. thanks, buddy. That's Dan Hampton, sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
How you living? What? How you living? What? How you living?
And live in color.
You can't do what you want.
7:53, Sean Wayans is here. He's at the Chicago Improv. This show changed television. You know,
yeah.
Sean Wayans, your big brother changed television.
Yeah? How so?
Well, because everybody thought, well, nobody's going to watch a show of a black ensemble cast. You're not going to get white America to watch it. And they were wrong.
Yeah, they were. They were
plus,
wrong.
A couple people broke out, right?
A lot of people broke out.
J-Lo's butt broke out.
J-Lo's butt broke out, went solo.
She's doing all right, isn't she? She had a pretty good career.
She's doing great. Hard worker. J-Lo's awesome.
Good woman.
Good woman.
Jim Carrey. Good woman.
I don't know about a good woman, but incredible talent. David Alan Greer, incredible talent.
David Alan Greer. How funny is David Alan Greer?
He's incredible.
Make you cry.
Laughing.
Yeah.
Tommy Davidson, incredible talent.
Never liked him. He's a good guy, too.
Yeah. Tommy's hilarious. Carrie Ann Inaba, another judge.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. We're all over the place. In Living Color's all over the place.
Was Len on In Living Color?
Len who?
Len Goodman. Is it Len Goodman, the judge from...
That's Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
He wasn't.
No.
He would have been someone we parodied on In Living Color.
Yeah, that's a better fact.
Jim would have been doing him.
How old were you when that show hit?
I was 19.
You were 19?
19.
So how long before they let you come do something?
Well, I was a writer. I was a writer trainee while I was DJing.
Okay.
So I would sit in on the writing process and help pitch ideas for sketches. And then I left being the DJ and became a feature player, and I started writing sketches that I was in. So it was probably about a 3-year process.
What's your favorite sketch?
That I did?
Yeah, you wrote or were in?
We did this sketch on Def Jam where we was making fun of Def Jam.
Well, I remember the Def Jam
and
sketch.
The audience laughing and people's head exploding and the lady laughed and shot out a hover JJ. Me and Malone wrote that.
And by the way, if that happens, get to a clinic immediately.
I know.
Because that's problematic.
Yeah. That is problematic. But that was our first sketch that we wrote.
Sean Wayans at the Chicago Improv, and get your tickets. You can go to chicago.improv.com. How about a website for you?
I don't really have
social media.
I have a
How about mail? You got an address? Just
no.
At the house?
No.
Cell phone number where people can call you?
No. my Twitter is Sean_Wayans.
Sean_Wayans. All right. How's life? You good?
Sean Wayans. Someone took my real name, so I had to put an underscore under it.
Did you figure out who it was?
No, I don't really care. But I just love how people like to take the best of you. Nobody takes like that PCU that you're struggling with. Like no one wants to take the Sean Wayans as paying child support.
Right.
They only want the famous Sean Wayans.
Right. So you don't even know where the Sean Wayans is.
They
took your name.
No, I have no idea who this guy is.
Well, I mean,
who does he think he is? Me?
He might not be paying child support, but you know, at least he's got a Twitter account.
Yeah. Exactly. But
getting that done.
Use your name. How about that?
My name?
No, use your name.
Giving up
Why
my
are
name?
You taking my name?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
It's like taking LeBron James' Twitter name.
That actually is my Twitter handle.
That's crazy.
At LeBron.
I want to be Oprah. At Oprah.
No, I already have Oprah.
You got Oprah?
Let me get in contact with Sean. Yeah, go to @oprah.com.
So I know you're doing stand-up this weekend. How many cities?
This weekend I'm here in at the Schaumburg Improv.
Yeah.
I'm doing 5 shows. Then I go to San Diego. I'm at the place called the... comedy something.
Comedy Yuck Yuck Ha-Ha's?
No, but I forgot the
Chuckles?
Name.
Chuckles? Guffaws?
No. Nope.
Crackers?
No. Nope.
Come on.
No.
It's one of those.
It'll hit me by the end of the interview.
Yeah, call me.
Yeah.
You know what? Tweet me to that guy.
At Oprah.
Sean. Tweet me at Oprah, and I'll pick it up there because
exactly.
I follow you
there
at
you
Oprah.
Go. Yeah. There you go. Comedy on Broadway or something.
What about TV? What's coming up on TV?
I'm writing a show right now, me and my brother Keenan.
Am I in it?
Oh, excuse me?
Am I in it? In
yeah,
show?
You're in it.
Yeah,
but not you. Your name is in it. The one that you came up with that is not really you on Twitter.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Who he's, I wrote he's in something the credits. For.
I thought maybe
see that guy. I want to star with in the show. Absolutely. Want him to be, yeah. I don't know you.
Showan, what do you mean you don't know me?
No, I don't know who you are, but the guy who you want to be on Twitter,
oh, I got you.
That
okay.
dude
okay.
I want to work with.
Because I like Sean Wayans stars with Sean Wayans in Sean Wayans.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
But only I'm not Sean Wayans, I'm at Oprah.
Oprah's going to come over here in about 30 seconds.
I wish she would.
Yeah. Do you know Oprah?
I do know Oprah.
She's a nice lady.
Not on, yeah, she's sweet. Not on a, hey, what's up, Oprah? What you doing, girl? Level.
Well, I can do that. You want me to call her?
Call her.
Yeah. You ever follow Oprah?
Follow Oprah.
Yeah, money just popping out of her purse.
No. No, Oprah don't walk around with no money.
Oh, yeah, she does.
No, she doesn't.
Stacks of hundreds, man. No, falling on the street.
She does not. No.
That's what she
That's Kim Kardashian walks around with money.
That's why they have TROs filed against you.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
she doesn't walk around with no money.
How about this Kim Kardashian story? The most amazing part is that the burglars had bikes. They're riding around on little bicycles.
Yeah, how European.
That doesn't seem like a great
That's very
getaway.
European. Let's that's get away. You got a bell. Ching, ching, ching. Get out the way. Get out the way. Ching, ching.
You're not doing that in New York or LA or Chicago.
Not at all. Yeah. Was it motorcycle bikes or was it like
no, ten it's like bikes.
Oh my god,
that's bicycle. Just,
yeah, that's like that's
the corniest crime ever.
It's like a jack of hearts in the spokes. You know,
right?
That
that's deal? Like yeah, yeah. Or have that's like robbing someone and then skating away. Let's go.
The gang leader's got a basket to put the diamonds.
Right?
In.
It's like let's go. That is so ridiculous.
She was supposed to be in town this weekend. I heard she just canceled her trip.
She'll probably be here. She just don't want the people following her around. You know, she's kind of a little shell-shocked.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah.
Dean Richards live at Channel 9. He's going to be talking to Sean Wayans coming up here in a little bit. Sean's in studio because, frankly, I can't get him to leave.
You tried to get me to leave. And
yeah.
I caught you. I called you out.
So, Dean, I just want you to know that, just let somebody know you might need a safe word or something to get Sean out of the studio.
Well, you just say it's all done. And for real, for real, Sean, you got to go. That's it. That's the safe line.
It's all done.
That's the safe line. For real, Sean, you got to go. And then I'll leave.
You're always welcome here.
Thank you.
And it is good seeing you. You look great, by the way.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
appreciate that.
So you and I, we were writing a show.
I'm only 24, by the way.
I know. You and I are writing a show. Here's what we got so far for the show. It's called Ebony and a Guy Who Thinks He's Ebony. And we can't decide if it's a sitcom or a one-hour drama.
And we don't know who is going to be Ebony.
Oh, you're Ebony.
Why am I Ebony?
I'm the guy who thinks he's Ebony.
But what if I was the guy that thought I was Ebony? That's the flip. See, the other way.
That's the twist of the whole thing.
You know what I mean?
That's
character arc. Yeah. Yeah, we don't tell him.
Yeah, you don't tell
him. It's like the girl on a train. Yeah, you don't know what's going to happen.
You don't know what's going to happen. She's on a bike, really.
With Kim Kardashian's
robbers, yep. Look at that.
Sean Wayans is at the Chicago Improv, chicago.improv.com. Tickets are only $28. That seems like a low price for you.
That's a low price.
You're running
for
a sale?
That's just what the improv charges. They don't try to, you know, take every dime from you. They want you to have a good time and drink.
But are you getting paid?
What am I getting paid?
Yeah, you know, are you getting paid?
Yeah, I make some money on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I'm here. I'm happy. I'm doing good.
So you're actually doing this more for me. You came in just for me.
I came in to make sure you was okay, you know, and everything seems to be good, you know. The place is blue, the walls.
Well, it's the Allstate Showcase
Still got
studio.
The Allstate thing.
Yeah, it's the Allstate Showcase
yeah,
studio.
Yeah, so it's
hey, have you thought about licensing, like, you know, wearing a patch or something like those NASCAR drivers? Might be some extra cash in that for you.
I think that's a little weird for me to walk around with a little, I don't know, patch on myself for no reason. Why?
No, a little
an
extra
eye patch
cash.
With Allstate on it.
Oh, no, I'm not saying pirate. Like pirate.
An eye patch.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying maybe do a little licensing.
No, that's how you become a target. I'm okay.
What about Target?
What about Target? Right.
What about
a big
Target?
Bullseye
like
on
a Target,
my back.
Right there. Right? Yeah.
Nah,
that's probably not a great idea.
I think I'm okay.
We're just brainstorming here.
I know it's a good idea. I just
who do you want to work with other than me? Who do you want to work with that you haven't worked with?
I think that I found the person that I want to spend the rest of my career with right here.
Why are you looking at Andre when you say that?
I'm not looking at anybody.
And I'm fine with that.
I'm looking at a picture of Marlon right now.
All right, I know you got to roll, but before you do,
yeah,
it's not that cold. Why are you wearing a parka?
Oh, just because I respect Chicago and its weather and where it can go at any given moment.
Right. So you're worried like an Alberta Clipper is going to show up as soon as you walk outside?
Yes, I don't trust. I grew up in New York.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, so I've seen New York's weather and it's a little fickle.
He might not be wrong.
Did your blood thin out after being in L.A. all these years?
It has. My tolerance for the cold is not. I get ashy in the middle of my hand.
Well, maybe
right
I am, Ebony,
yeah,
then.
Yeah. There you go. So I can't really take the cold that much.
All right.
Now you get a little ashy sometimes. So
he's ashy now. Yeah. That's why he has a hat on. He's ashy behind the ears.
Yeah. No, he called me that during the break, actually.
Yeah.
Great seeing you.
Good
Sean Wayans
too, man. Great
at the Chicago Improv. Get two tickets and then get two more and take some friends. Chicago.improv.com. And let us know when you're done with the TV show and the movie and the other stuff. But whenever you're
in
town.
And I'll come back,
Come on, man.
And the
come
place
on,
I'm
man.
In San Diego is Comedy on Broadway.
Oh, nicely done by you.
Yeah.
Look at you.
There you go.
All right. Get out of here. Go do TV.
Okay. All right.
8:17. More in a moment on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show. 720 WGN.
Watching Hurricane Matthew. It'll be several hours from Daytona Beach to Jacksonville to the Georgia coast to Charleston, South Carolina. And then a potential fish hook back to the Bahamas late in the weekend, early next week. The mystery of Hurricane Matthew continues, but Florida's coast has to some extent dodged a bullet as the storm has stayed offshore about 30 to 50 miles. And because of that, the damage has been less than expected, and that's obviously very good news. But that's what we were talking about yesterday. It's like, okay, if you evacuate and it turns out to be less than expected, well, then you're smart.
Right.
You're an actual genius. So that's a completely positive thing. All right, 8:22. I understand we found Dean Richards. Good morning, Dean.
Hello there.
All right, so you're doing TV. You're doing this show. You got a lot going on this morning.
Busy. We got a lot of plates spinning today. We just talked with Kelly Clarkson. She's got a new children's book out.
I like Kelly.
Very, very nice. Very sweet.
Yeah, she's very sweet.
Four kids. She's written a children's book called River Rose and the Magical Lullaby. Some night when you're having trouble sleeping, Steve, I'll come over and read it to you.
That'd be great. I'd love that. You know, she's a good golfer.
Really?
Yeah, she plays golf with Reba McEntire.
Oh, see?
Right behind Spike Odell's house.
I wish I would have known that.
Yeah.
And I could have gone, I understand you're a really good golfer.
Yeah. And she'd go, no, I'm not.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Yeah. And Sean Wayans just left here. I know he's on the way to
I heard. To I heard he was gentlemen. Very funny.
I don't know. I thought he was, you know.
I thought he was, no, he's funny.
Yeah.
The Wayans aren't, isn't it scary how energetic they are?
Well, you know, the thing that annoys me about the Wayans, they come in here and they always confuse me for the other people. And I go, listen, Sean, all white people don't look alike. You know? I mean, I'm not Billy Joel. Dean's not Billy Joel.
Not Tom Skilling.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yep.
All right. You got movies to review?
We have the, it's all dramas this week, all serious drama. In case you're in a really good mood this weekend and you want to, like, bring your...
Let's ruin that.
...your mood down, I've got a number of movies that'll depress you. The probably top of the list is Birth of a Nation. It's been one of the most talked about movies of the year. It's kind of a reinterpretation. It's not an exact remake of the old 1915 silent film. It's actually the true story of a slave who in 1831, after decades and decades of abuse, just had enough and organized and led a slave rebellion, an unsuccessful slave rebellion, but slave rebellion nonetheless against their owners, against their repressors. It is very much like 12 Years a Slave, same kind of feelings, same kind of very uncomfortable scenes. To watch one of these movies, it's kind of hard to watch, but important and poignant and touching. It's beautifully made. The performances in this movie are really something. A young actor by the name of Nate Parker is the star of the film. He directs it. He co-produces it, co-wrote the film, and does pretty much a good job with all of those things.
It seems like he's a bit of a whack job, though. Didn't he sort of take the controversy about him with accused and unproven crimes or whatever and make it worse in some way, or am I making that up?
Well, I think, honestly, I think it's, I shouldn't say that it's the press that made it worse. There are a lot of anti-sexual violence groups that are protesting this film all over the country because he was accused of rape several years ago and was exonerated from that. Some say he got off on a technicality. Apparently, according to the stories that I've read, had a previous sexual relationship with the woman who accused him of rape. It went through the court system. He was exonerated from the whole thing. He's, you know, what he's saying now is I was not, you know, I was, you know, let off of this whole thing. You know, you can't say that I was, you know, sexual violence, that I committed sexual violence when it went to court and I was excused from the charges. So that's what he's saying. Maybe he could handle it in a different way. I asked him about it. I asked him about the controversy when I talked with him. We're going to play that full interview on Sunday. And, you know, he talks about how it went through the process. And, you know, here we are. And he just wants to, you know, talk about this film. And
is the movie any good?
Focus on the film. The film is good. It's very powerful and very moving and very poignant. I will say this. I gave it an A-.
Wow.
I really liked it. But his direction at times is a little bit choppy. The storyline jumps around a little bit, so it's you can certainly stay with the story, but it's not easy to follow. It could have been easier to follow, I think, maybe at the hands of a more experienced director. So I liked it, but there are a few problems with it.
We continue with show number 750. Dean is live at Channel 9, and this is live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. I think it's also important for us to say before we move on to that men need to understand, and if you don't understand, it may be too late for this, but even if you're in a relationship, you can still commit rape with the person you're in the relationship with.
No always means no, even if you had a previous relationship.
Yeah, or a current one. All right, so what about The Girl on a Train?
Disappointing. Great cast. Emily Blunt.
Oh, she's the greatest.
Is in this film, and Justin Theroux is in the movie. Lisa Kudrow's in the film. Really good, outstanding cast. Not so good screenplay. Taking this best-selling novel, translating it to the film. I didn't read the book, but from what everybody tells me, the book was amazing. The storytelling in this movie, the script, really is not so amazing, and I think that that's the biggest problem with this movie. It focuses on a woman who rides the train into New York every day, even though she really doesn't have to. She does. She's an alcoholic, and she observes life along the railroad tracks and becomes obsessed with it and becomes involved with what's going on. I don't want to give away too much of what's going on because I think that's whatever there is.
Well, there's a murder, right?
There is a murder. She's accused of it. I don't want to give away.
What
too
happens
much.
Right at the end?
There's a big musical number. I've never seen a psychological thriller at the end where they actually
out.
Do Michael Jackson's Thriller. At
yeah,
the end.
I know you don't
it
want
seems
to.
Seems like an odd. I mean, it's Halloween time. I guess if you're going to bring up
Thriller, thematic, and I know you don't want to spoil it, but how does it end?
This is the time. I think I think the movie is way too predictable. You can figure it out. It's all the things that a thriller shouldn't be. It's predictable. You can kind of see the ending coming a mile away. There's not the nuance that apparently was in the novel from what people who are huge fans of the book who also were disappointed in the book. I gave it C. I like the performances, but there's a little problem with the stories. And then the Rachel Weisz movie also opens this weekend called Denial. This is also a true story about a Holocaust author who is sued by a Nazi sympathizer accused of libel, saying that she's making up facts and not telling the truth about the Holocaust. So he sues her, takes her to court. Very interesting history lesson. But I think what's even more interesting in this movie, it's a story about this guy, this Nazi sympathizer, Holocaust denier, who absolutely swears that what he is saying is true, and it's taken for the fact. I mean, something that I think that we see reflected in today's headlines as well, where we have politicians all over the place swearing that, you know, what they're saying is absolute truth, when in fact what many of them are saying is not absolute truth. It's actually a rather genius way of pointing out that the truth is the truth. Opinion is not necessarily truth. So that one I gave B-.
All right, and then the other big story of the weekend before we let you go is that Kim Kardashian is not coming to town.
Not coming to town. I fixed up my guest room. I put out new towels.
Do you think she heard us talking about the robbery this week?
I don't know. It's barely been in the news. I don't know how anyone could possibly mistake that. But the Sun-Times yesterday was saying that she was going to be here with Kanye, and now they are saying that she's no longer coming. Maybe concerned for security. Maybe she is coming. And
well, she actually shows up. Don't expect to see her because she likes to blend into the woodwork. She does not like to make it all about her. So, you know, it's not like she's going to be standing in line at Giordano's in a see-through dress. That's not how she rolls.
Probably not going to see her at Wrigley Field tonight with
no,
like a billy goat.
No.
Which was also, wasn't that her videotape many years ago?
That, well, that wasn't actually a billy goat, but Kanye, his new album is called Billy Goat, and it's only goat sounds. So, because he thinks that's going to be a big, big hit. I do have on hold, and so this is why I hope she comes in, as a tribute to the great security force that's trying to track down the robbers in France. I have three Divvy bikes, one for you, one for me, and one for Kim to ride as we just take a tour around Chicago.
We'll go with that because I had leased 35 tricycles because I think there's nothing funnier than seeing a grown man on a tricycle riding down the street.
It's safer.
With Benny Hill music playing. That's the only thing that makes it funnier. I don't know what we're going to do, but look for us around the Chicago
area. Well, and if she shows up, I think we should do our bad French accents the entire time. Oh, Kim, let me take you to Marshall's.
Mademoiselle Kardashian.
Kim, at Marshall's, many of the clothes are on sale.
Perhaps you would like to go to the Billy Goat, not fries, chips.
Gee, and you wonder why she's not coming to see you guys.
Not Coke, le Pepsi.
Le chips.
We get a fourth divvy for Pepe Le Pew.
That's not nice.
Well, we're not picking on Kim.
No, you're just picking on the character. Paris,
yeah,
right.
That's what we're doing. Yes, beloved character.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Have a great weekend. We'll hear you Sunday morning.
See ya.
All right. That's Dean Richards. And we'll take a break, come back for the big story. And we got it before the show's over. You know, Sandberg, the producer of the show, she's not judgmental.
What?
Well, she tells me she's not judgmental.
No, she's just direct, right?
But she has a little trauma this morning because of what I like to call the pumpkin patch incident.
Oh, no.
Yeah, she got a pumpkin issue. And it's the season for pumpkins. So we'll drag her in here to talk about that. It'll be good for Jake because Jake's in a room with her alone. And the more she vents, the safer he is. It's 8:33. Big story next on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Come on! 8:43 now. We are fortunate to have one of the best baseball minds in America, Andy Mazur, in this morning, and Monday as well. And Kevin Paul has been chasing the Cubs all season and is about to go on the road when they go to San Francisco as well. Good morning, Kevin.
Hey, Steve. How you doing?
Doing fine. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
You looking forward to tonight?
I am. It's, you know, this has been the discussion since day one at spring training. I mean, this is it. You know, this was the focus. They've remained laser focused this entire season for the postseason, as Jason Hayward put it, the extra season. So this is what they've been playing for all year.
They are they the Detroit Tigers wire to wire, or are they the Seattle Mariners? You know, 116 and washed out.
I think they're the 2016 Cubs. There's something different about this team. I mean, really, it's like a perfect blend of everything. They got the veterans in the right spots. They have the young guys who don't really care about any sort of screw-ups the Cubs have done in the past. So it's almost a perfect blend. I mean, as we've sort of talked about the past couple of weeks, I really don't know how they don't win this thing. I mean, on paper and on the field, they've been the best team by far this entire season, wire to wire. So, I mean, it's going to take a whole lot for the Cubs not to win And they've got the right guy on the mound tonight, John. Lester Hendricks tomorrow, and then Arrieta Monday. And Monday should be a good one. It's Arrieta versus Bumgarner, likely Bumgarner. The Giants haven't said that yet, but it'll be Bumgarner Monday at San Francisco. So they have everything they need. I mean, they have the bullpen out. They have starting pitching. They have hitting. They have everything you could possibly want in a baseball team. So it's just a matter of going out and doing it now.
Andy, say hi to baseball guru Kevin Powell.
Mr. Kevin Powell, curious your thoughts. I kind of have my own on this, but, you know, last year it was Kyle Schwarber and, to an extent, Jorge Soler, who were the guys that kind of broke out and did some things that were a little unexpected. What are you thinking about this year? Who do you think is going to be stepping up?
That's a good question. Maybe Wilson Contreras. I mean, the guy, I could see him doing something. Yeah, I think I'll go with Contreras. He's intense dude. He's always plays to a high level, and I think he doesn't really get shaken by any sort of big moment. I mean, we saw it in his first game in the big leagues. You know, he tore it up in the first week in the majors, so I don't think he's really shaken by any sort of big moment or anything. But, yeah, Wilson Contreras, I think, is a guy that you know, maybe you sort of glance over when you see the other two popular catcher names, and Contreras sort of comes out of nowhere, and he can do a lot of damage at the plate and behind the plate catching. So I think Wilson Contreras is a guy you can look for.
You know, see, to me, and I'm going on a limb here, because I said this to Carm the other day, Jason Hayward to me is the X factor. I think he's gonna step up to the forefront here in this playoff. I just have this feeling that he's gonna be a monster.
He's done it in the past in the postseason. Joe Maddon refused to give up on him at any point in the season. I'm sure a lot of it had to do with his contract and people telling him to keep him in the lineup. But he does a lot of good things, you know, in the field, running the bases. So I could see Hayward doing some damage in the postseason. But I don't see Joe Maddon giving up on him or anything. And I know a lot of people have suggested him staying out of the lineup or coming off the bench, but I think Joe Maddon's absolutely going to have him in the lineup at least for game one and two and see what it goes from there. But yeah, Hayward's a guy that does, I know his batting average was horrible and a lot of people are frustrated with him, you know, especially when you look at the contract he got, but he really does do a lot of good things on the base paths and in the field. So Hayward absolutely could be an X factor in this series.
Darlis isn't buying it.
I keep writing. I wrote just she wrote 236 down.
236, yeah.
Season.
I did a double check for you. Matt Merton left off the playoff roster.
Thank you for checking, Kevin. I appreciate that. You always have my back.
I was lobbying for you, so Matt wasn't having it.
No, you've been with me all along. Kev, this team is focused but fun. It was fun to watch him doing the practice the other day at Wrigley wearing the Dolphins football helmets. There's so many things going on now off the field. They have the goat at the Billy Goat. How much does this team look at? Do they pay attention to any of that stuff, or are they kind of putting the fun aside now and really focusing on the job that needs to be done?
Yeah, you know, this team has had fun all year, and they, you know, they have the celebration room, and they like to celebrate pretty much any win. You know, I really don't think that – I don't think there's a whole lot of egos in that locker room, and I've felt that since spring training. Again, They've known what the goal is. They know what the ultimate thing is here. And it's for as loose as they are, it's for as fun as they are, and I think it all trickles down from Joe Maddon, I think they've remained completely focused. You know, the only thing is this past 2 weeks, really, have been sort of weird. I mean, you've had Joe Maddon treating it like spring training. Some players didn't like that. You know, so I guess maybe if you want to look into it, that may be a concern. But the biggest thing the past 2 weeks was just staying healthy, and they've done that. They've gotten people healthy. They've had an incredible run of luck in terms of health this entire season. So that's gone their way. But no, I mean, for as much as they like to goof around and have fun, they know what the ultimate goal is, and they've been saying that since out in Arizona back in March.
Who is the best position player on the San Francisco Giants that could give Cubs pitching fits, Andrew?
Buster Posey.
Still?
Oh, yeah.
You agree, Kevin?
Yeah, Posey's tough. Brandon Crawford, shortstop, is going to give them good at bat.
Yeah, Brandon Belt, too.
Brandon Belt, yeah. He's been there. He's been there for all three,
who's the
I believe,
kid to hit the home run the other night to win the game?
Oh, Connor Gillespie? Yeah.
Former White Sox Connor Gillespie.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere. It's a team that, I know Mr. Cat was lobbying to face the Giants over the Mets, and I still
The Giants got to scare you a whole heck of a lot more than the Mets do. I mean, they've been there. There are a lot of guys that have been there for the past few runs. I mean, the Giants, people sort of just forget, they've won the three of the last five World Series. I mean, this is a dynasty the Giants have going right now. They know how to win. They have, you know, this is,
and they always
this
win is a, in the even-numbered years.
The even number. And this is the two best managers in baseball going against each other, Joe Maddon and Bruce Bochy. These are the two best managers.
I like Maddon, but Bochy's got a big head, and, you know, I'm a fan of the guys with the giant heads because I see him at the meeting.
He's got a six-pack head. Yeah. Put a six-pack in his helmet.
And he chews a whole lot of gum. I don't even know how much he goes through a game, but he's always chewing gum. These are the two best managers in baseball. The Giants, I think the Giants would be a lot more scary if this was a seven-game series, because that would mean you would probably have to face Madison Bumgarner twice. Bumgarner's probably going to start Monday, and if it goes five games, you'll probably see him out of the bullpen on next Thursday. Cueto's still scary. You know, Cueto tonight and then Samardzija tomorrow. So that's still a pretty good 1-2, and then Bumgarner Monday. But I think the five-game series absolutely helps the Cubs this time around.
Only difference between this Giants team and the last three, to me, is the bullpen. And lately, the Giants bullpen has been scuffling. I know Sergio Romo is back in the closer's role, but kind of because he's the only one that's been able to throw strikes lately.
Yeah, the bullpen's been absolutely horrible. And the Giants' record since the All-Star break, I think, was one of the worst among majors, if I'm not wrong, Andy.
Yeah, they were under 500. Yeah, way under 500.
One of the worst records in baseball since the All-Star break. But the bullpen is horrible. So, I mean, you saw it the other night. If you had Madison Bumgarner pitching every night, I think it would be a lock for them to win the World Series. The guy comes up huge for them time after time. But, if the Cubs can get to, and they've done this all season, if they can get the starting pitching early, knock starting pitchers out, I think they'll be okay. And they know how to do that. They work long, long at-bats. They draw a whole lot of walks. That's what the Cubs do. So, they can do that to Cueto and get Cueto out of there by the fifth or sixth inning. That's gonna bode well for them because, as you said, Andy, that bullpen is atrocious for the Giants.
What's your budget for food when you're in San Francisco? I mean, do we give you like a daily number that you have to spend, or how's that work?
I think it's anywhere between like $4,000 and $5,000 I can spend on food. So I'm gonna go big, Steve. I'm gonna find the best seafood around.
Well, I got a restaurant for you. I got a restaurant.
I got a couple too.
I got a restaurant for you. This is named the most expensive restaurant in California.
Okay.
It's called Saison, S-A-I-S-O-N.
Okay.
And they have a discovery menu which starts at about $400 for one, where the chef brings out several samplings. Give you an example, if you take a date, and it's not like women aren't following you to California. if you take a date, dinner, wine pairings, tax tip, about $1,600 for two people.
That's chump money. Yeah. I'll put it on the company expense card and just look, run it. I'll do a full report. I'll have my phone out for photo blogging it for the website.
That'd be great. Jimmy DeCastro is leaving. Just sign everything to him to his room.
Because they put it on Rose credit card and then order some stuff and send it back.
No. Listen, this is the Fletch move. You know, it's like the Underhills.
Underhill.
Everything goes to Jimmy DeCastro.
What's it called? Susan?
Saison. S-A-I-S-O-N.
He's French.
Oh, my mistake.
Yeah, come on, man.
My mistake. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to Google it.
And if you're renting a car, use their drive-thru. all right. Well, we didn't do predictions. I said Cubs in five.
Cubs in five.
Andy?
I said Cubs in four yesterday.
Kevin?
I go Cubs in five.
All right. There you go.
Giants are just too tough. I see this going the full five here.
There you go. All right, buddy. Good luck. Have fun out there.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
I just felt like running.
Nine ten in the morning. I haven't decided if I'm going to do the marathon yet.
We
do it.
You have 2 days to decide.
Yeah, but I know the guys that run it. I mean, they'll let me go.
Do you think you might want to train for a day or so?
I got some heel pain.
Yeah, I don't like your chances.
I was getting in and out of the golf cart. I think I hurt myself.
I hate when that happens.
Yes. If you're like me and peak physical fitness and you want to run in the marathon on Sunday, it may be a tad too late because it does take an ability to work up. So the question is, if you are someone running in the marathon and it's your first time, you're probably nervous. You're probably thinking about almost nothing but that. So let's bring our pal, Dr. Skiba, back in. Good morning, doctor. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Sorry you couldn't be in studio. I understand you had patients, whatever.
Healing the sick, raising the dead. This is what we do.
Right, exactly. Tell everybody your affiliation before we talk about the marathon.
So I work over at Advocate Lutheran General Hospital and for Advocate Medical Group. I run sports medicine for the system. And what I do all day is take care of athletes.
I think it's important that we talk to the first timers who are nervous on this Friday. You know, they're picking up their number. They're you know, going through the process, trying to figure out how much pasta to eat tomorrow night. What do you want to say to them?
So the most important thing to remember is that, you know, the weather is going to be relatively cool, which makes for a good race. But the danger is that you're going to go out too fast. And so the thing to keep in mind is that you should be running the first half of the marathon as though you were going to try to run the second half at the fastest of your life. So you got to pace it. You got to take it easy. You always got to leave something left in the tank.
So cruise into it.
Exactly.
While you're running and those pains start in those first few miles and everything in your head is going, this was a terrible idea, any sort of mental tricks to get over that hump?
So, you know, what we find with athletes in particular, there's two kinds of athletes. There are associators and dissociators. The associators are people who focus on their discomfort, and they get something out of that, and that's what motivates them to go forward. The other group, which is most of us, you know, think, oh, God, this was a terrible idea. And our best option is to dissociate, to think about things that motivate us, things that got us to try and do the marathon in the first place. You know, you see a lot of people out there on the course who are running in memory of some relative who was ill or who passed away or something. Focusing on those motivational things that got you into it in the first place is often what it takes to get you through the whole race.
Doctor, conditions, course conditions are expected to be clear skies on Sunday, partial sun, a high of 65. These seem like ideal conditions. Why is it better if it's a little cooler, especially when that shotgun goes off?
So your body is always trying to balance between keeping cool and feeding the muscles. It's because it has to send blood. Your heart has to send blood to the skin to cool you off, but also has to feed your muscles with blood so you can run. When it's cooler out, less blood needs to go to the skin, more can go to the muscles. You don't heat up as much, and you're typically able to have a much better day.
What is your number one concern for the person that's run two or three and maybe is a little cocky about it now?
Yeah, I mean, the people who run two or three are typically the people I'm least worried about. They tend to hurt themselves in advance. They're the people that train too much, get hurt 3 weeks ahead of time, come into my office with a stress fracture, and then say, come on, Doc, you got to do something for me. The 2 to 3 marathon people are now out of the woods with respect to the immediate, you know, kind of major stupidities during the race. But still, you know, because the conditions are going to be cool, they, for example, need to pay attention to their hydration. They need to drink less than they typically would because overdrinking is one of the most hazardous things you can do during a race.
Explain that.
So your body operates best with a certain amount of sodium in it. And if you drink a lot of water or Gatorade, both of which have less salt than your body does, you start to dilute down the amount of sodium in your blood, sometimes to dangerous levels. And you know who these people are because they'll say during the race, wow, my hands feel swollen, or my watch feels much, much tighter than it was. And soon after that, bad things start to happen.
Andrew, get in here.
Yeah, doctor, curious what you recommend for your patients that are running to eat maybe the day before or the day of the race?
Yeah, so, well, the most important thing is don't try anything on the race day that you didn't try in training first. You know, there are a lot of people that come out trying some new experimental, you know, sports drink or something like that, and then find out that they've got, you know, bad guts or something like that. So the most important thing is the night before, really eat as much carbs as you can tolerate. And then during the race, you want to make sure you're getting something in as you go, typically about a gram of carbohydrate per minute. So, you know, take a look at your Gatorade bottle, see how many grams of carbohydrate in there, and that'll give you a rough idea of how much you ought to be trying to get down each hour as you go to keep your muscles functioning optimally.
I have a friend who has run Boston. She's run Chicago. She's not running this year, but ran year before last and hit a wall right around the cell, which is Bridgeport, mile 22 or 23. And she said a guy came up to her. He said, I'm a doctor. Have a banana. Just sit here for a second, massage your calves, and get up and keep going. And she did. I mean, what advice would you have for people?
So that's potassium, right?
Yeah, who are so close to that finish line, even if they have to just walk it in.
So, So it's typically thought that potassium is the issue or other electrolytes, and it turns out that it really isn't. When we measure people at that part of the race, we find two things. Number one, their salt, their potassium, all those electrolytes in the body are totally normal usually. What we find is that they've depleted all the carbohydrate stores in their muscles, which start to cause a feeling of extreme fatigue called the wall, or you know, athletes in the know will call it quote-unquote bonking. And the way to avoid that is to make sure that as the race was going on in the first place, you stayed on top of how much carbohydrate you were supposed to be having. Because once it's gone, you're in a really bad position. It's very difficult to try and come back from that.
Any last questions from you, Andrew, about this marathon?
No, I wish I could run one. I wish I had an image to do.
I think that's probably a great way to end this, yeah. Doc, is for people that are inspired, didn't get it done this year, what do they need to start doing?
Well, the most important thing to remember is that training takes a long time. You know, you need to be looking at probably a year of running before you're really ready to train for a marathon if you're sort of naive to it. I mean, for us, you know, we've been working with the Advocate Charitable Foundation to try and get people in the community out there running to help support the cause of our Down Syndrome Center and our cancer center and things like that. And it's really important to get those people prepared well in advance so that they don't have a bad day. So if you're not going to make it this year, tomorrow, you know, Monday is the day to start getting ready for next year.
I'm going to run next year.
I like the
sound of that.
Yeah.
26.2 miles. Now, I'm going to start, though, as you said, on Monday. So I'm going to spread out the 26.2 miles over the year.
You're going to start running, not training.
I'll follow you in the golf cart, Steve. It'll be great.
Be careful when you get out. You could hurt your heel. By the way, Doc, I had some plantar fasciitis. You guys go on about your business. Okay. I got to ask Doc a question here.
Okay, go ahead.
I had plantar fasciitis a few years ago. I had an issue with it. I got cortisone shots.
Right.
Bottom of my foot. That may be the most, you know, and I've broken my ankle and broken some other bones. I've got bad knees. That may be the most painful injection ever, the cortisone shot in the bottom of your foot.
You know, it's true. I mean, with the exception of your lips, you know, and some other things, I mean, really the foot has the most nerves of any place in the body. And one of the reasons we try to avoid cortisone shots until it's absolutely necessary is because it's so uncomfortable. But you know, you can do physical therapy. There's different stretching exercises that can work. But when all else fails, I mean, the cortisone shot's the way to go.
Do you like the inserts in shoes? Do you believe in those?
They sure can help. You know, the question is, it's interesting about shoe inserts. We always thought they worked by, say, supporting the arch or something like that. It turns out that those inserts actually change the way the muscles in your foot and in your ankle fire. So it starts to stress different muscles and take some of the pressure off the area where you're having that plantar fasciitis.
So that's, it works. It just works for a different reason.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and the stress that it relieves seems to be the key. But, yeah, somebody told me you take a bottle of water, freeze it.
Yeah, or a frozen orange juice can works great, too.
Yeah, roll it under your foot three or four times for how long, 5-10 minutes or something?
Yeah, spend it a couple times a day. And then your other thing you can do is really stretch out the bottom of your foot by standing on your stairs, sort of on the balls of your heel of your feet, and then dropping your heel down and really stretching out the bottom of the foot.
Yeah, you do lifts.
Does that ever go away? Does plantar fascia, if you get it,
hadn't had it for years. I hadn't had it for years, and it just fired up again about a month ago.
Yeah, it tends to come and go. The problem is that, you know, those of us who get it, myself included, we probably have some kind of mechanical abnormality that causes it in the first place. And once we get over it with the exercises and then we get lazy and stop doing the exercises, the problem invariably comes back.
You've got a mechanical abnormality. I certainly don't. Doc, where are you going to be Sunday?
I'm going to be down in the media tent mostly. Doing some radio and TV stuff, but my guys are all over the course in the different med tents and things like that. And I hope none of us meet any of you.
Yeah, exactly. But final advice is trust that voice that you hear. And if the voice is telling you, I can't go, I've got to stop, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, there are no heroes out there. None of us, with the exception of the first 10 guys, have any chance of winning anything at this race. Be smart. If your body's telling you something, you got to listen to it.
Okay. Great stuff, Doc. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys. Take care.
Dr. Skiba from Advocate. He's really good.
He is good. So are you still going to try and run it?
I don't want to rush this decision. I mean, I'm going to think about it a little bit. I'm going to make my mind up tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
You got time.
Tomorrow afternoon, maybe.
Eat a pasta dinner just to be safe.
I'm going to get my 70s gym outfit that I paid $4 for, you know, in school. That had the super short shorts.
Uh-huh. Your leg warmers.
And the T-shirt, when you washed it once, it was like a tissue.
Did you have those gym uniforms that you could write your name on the strip there?
Yeah, you had to.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, they take masking tape, right? Take masking tape, put a strip on it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A little headband.
Did anything smell worse than an elementary kid's school locker?
Ugh.
I don't think so. Hey, on that note, 9:21, we're back in a moment. This is according to the fun hour, the Friday 9 o'clock hour. I'm done. So between now and 10 o'clock, let's see what happens on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
9:25. So most afternoons, I'll text Sandberg or she'll text me about the next day's show. Yesterday, I got a text from Sandberg. She's at the pumpkin patch.
Oh, how
thinking
sweet.
This can't go well.
Oh no.
No, because I know how she feels about pumpkins.
She doesn't like pumpkins.
You didn't know you weren't in here when this was discussed.
No,
she didn't
I
like
missed
getting,
it.
Cutting that top off the pumpkin and getting the goop out and decorating the pumpkin
and roasting the pumpkin seeds.
But let's be clear, you're not judgmental.
I'm not judgmental. I'm just direct.
Pointing out the obvious.
Yes.
And the obvious is?
The obvious is I spent $86 on pumpkins that I'm going to throw away in 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But you have the kids carve them though, right?
No, we are not carving at our house.
Wow, that sounds like a fun house. What a fall fun festival.
The kids have an awesome mom and she does all the really fun stuff. Like they went to a pumpkin patch and they went to an apple orchard and they did all that and they're going to carve. So I ran it past Patrick. We were squeezing in, grabbing some pumpkins in between picking up from school and heading to Catherine's cross-country meet.
How much are pumpkins?
They're really expensive.
They're pricey now.
$86, how many pumpkins do you get?
We bought four. It's for the front stoop, though.
Four pumpkins for $86?
Yeah, and as Patrick said, he goes, I know you like the weird ones better than the regular ones because I don't like orange. So I like to get the white ones.
You do know that that's the general color that pumpkins come in, right?
I know. Orange. We did get. I let him pick out one orange one, but we got an orange, a green, a pale colored one.
You said
one
you're not fun.
You're just I know. Full of fun.
But the lady, when I was paying, she said, oh, and are you going to carve these? And he goes, no, Mary's not really into carving.
Can I ask a question? Do you decorate your house for Halloween?
No.
Oh, see, like last night.
This is my decoration. These pumpkins are on the front stoop now. So.
Do you hand out candy or advice when kids open them?
Let me tell you.
Let me tell you something, young man. You should be doing something more productive tonight. Go home and do your homework.
Is it Mandy? Yeah. Are you really wearing that shirt with those pants?
Let me give you a tip here, honey.
I mean, honestly.
Do you do that? Fashion tips
for
the kids?
You're not going to be 10 forever.
Yeah. I kind of always want to talk to the parents. Could we get the coats underneath the costume so I can see the costume? Because it's always cold and they put the coats on top and you can't even see what the costume is to begin with.
I hesitate to ask this, but what do you do to a child that doesn't say thank you?
Oh, we stand there. We stand there and I'm not turning over any candy.
You go to the stare down?
Yeah. I am nice, though. I do provide like hacky sacks and things for those children that have allergies or whatever, dietary restrictions.
Or whatever.
So if somebody comes up to your house because you might have like nut candy.
Right. I can't eat nuts or I'm gluten-free.
I've never had a kid say that.
Take a hacky sack.
You have hacky sacks?
Yeah.
Like, where do you buy hacky sacks?
At the party store.
Were they $84 too for four?
No, there you can get like 18 of them for $3. That's a better deal than the pumpkins.
I still think you got ripped off on the pumpkins.
Yeah.
Well, I went to the garden center. I mean, I think you probably can go maybe at Home Depot has them for less, but yeah. Well, I like to support local.
I was going to say you can get them at the dollar store.
Well, since my kids are 29 and 25, I may be slightly outdated on this topic. But I don't remember pumpkins costing anything close to that.
They're very expensive. The first one Patrick picked out was $34, and I said no.
$34 just for the one pumpkin.
It's but he knows the front stoop. You gotta size it with the house and things.
It's
like
usually
that.
Per pound.
Hold on a second. Wait, I don't want to let that one get by.
No, it's not.
You have to size the pumpkin to your house.
We have a ranch house and it's wide. I can't put little tiny pumpkins out in the front.
She needs a big pumpkin.
Yeah, it's not that it's. Scale, you know, if we talk to who's that designer we have on the weekends with the nice hair,
Frank Fontana.
Yeah, Frank would say,
you always with the hair with you.
Yeah. So
I'm
it's funny
even...
though he's quoting pumpkin prices. Pat, every time we order pizza, my husband Pat Boyle,
Comcast Sportsnet,
who's now in Blackhawk season, he always says, I can't believe it's $30 for a pizza. I'm like, how much do you think pizza should cost? Good pizza, not pizza that's $9 from someone.
See, and he's I'm
like,
with him.
When I was a kid, it cost $14. But I'm like, you were a kid like 30 years ago. Pizza should go up in price since then. You know, like
it is a little nuts though. $30 for a pizza. Yeah. You know how much a pizza costs to make? $1.
I know. It's so good.
Yeah. It is pricey.
Yeah. Yeah, I want the more expensive pizza because I want the quality food.
Mm-hmm. 630, what's wrong with Mary? Pumpkins are $3.99 for a medium-sized one at Target.
Oh, I didn't even know Target sold pumpkins. I try to stay away from Target.
What's wrong with Target?
It's not really my scene.
Come on.
There's too much stuff. They sell too many things. I like to go to specialty stores. I can't, the mass places where there's food and clothes and bikes.
You love Costco.
Oh, yeah.
262, pumpkins an hour and a half from Chicago, $5 large, $4 small. Let me tell you something. You're driving an hour and a half to get pumpkins.
I would pay gas.
Yeah. Pumpkins at Jewel, $4. You got hosed.
Oh, Jewel. I didn't even think of Jewel.
Yeah, Jewel has pumpkins.
Aldi. I like this. Aldi. They give you money to take their pumpkins.
But there's nothing like going to the pumpkin patch. You can get hot cider.
See, that's not my kind of thing, okay. Andrea. You're into more experiences. I'm kind of into efficiency. I picked that kid up from school. We stopped by the garden center. We had those pumpkins, and we were at Catherine's meet in like 18 minutes. It was.
I'm sure the Easter egg haunted your house. Is just a
you put out one
real
Easter
thrill.
Egg. There's one Easter egg. Find it. It's over.
She puts notes inside the little plastic eggs. Here's what you should do to your time.
708, does Samber give out bounty towels for Halloween?
Oh, I like 708.
She's not going to give those
out. I can't be parting with them. I'm still enjoying the bounty towels you guys gave me for my wedding.
Isn't I can't nice? Get over the hacky sacks thing. That's so weird.
Well, you know, like, I think those plastic, like, spider rings are worthless. You got to give something to the kids that can't.
Well, you're allergic to peanuts, so let's give you a hippie sort of
oh, no,
toy here.
They're hacky you know. Sacks, but they're in the shape of soccer ball. Like,
well, it's Pat Boyle of Comcast SportsNet. Why can't he steal some autographed pucks from work or something?
Yeah, there you go. Them.
Give it stack.
Here's a hacky sack and, you know, some fish tickets. Have fun.
Good times.
That's right. Halloween with Sandberg.
With the Boyles.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
we should lump Pat into that.
Yes, if your kids are having too much fun and enjoying their childhood, have them come to Sandberg's house.
I'll take care of it.
It's 9:32. We'll come back. President Obama is going to be speaking about Hurricane Matthew. You'll dip into that when we do the big story next. And we still got to get to the Joe Buck hair transplant story. How bizarre is that? And Tom Skilling coming up on Oh, that's right. We won't be getting to anything else. Tom Skilling coming up on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Here in South and Central Florida, the storm is making its way in tonight. Please stay safe. Keep listening for alerts. There may be tornadoes that come in, and your radio or cell phone will give you important messages. Our number one priority is protecting every life in this state. Nobody should be on a Florida beach on the East Coast tonight. Nobody should be on the beach. Nobody should be surfing. We are going to lose power, and we're not going to lose power for a short period of time. We're already starting to see the impacts, and it's a monster. Again, it's here.
Talked to Alex Stone from ABC News earlier in Charleston, South Carolina. If you look at a map of the East Coast, Charleston, obviously the tip of South Carolina, sort of juts out from the coastline. And if you were to draw a straight line from Daytona Beach and Jacksonville, where most of the trouble is, along the coastline and up, you pretty much get a direct hit on Charleston. So I'd say Charleston is more of a bullseye now for landfall than anything else. Storm surge is the biggest problem. Storm surge, again, shallow water is a bigger problem than deep water because shallow water, there's no place for the water to go, no place for it to be recycled down. And storm surge piles water on top of water, and the winds create waves on top of the piled water. So if you got 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 feet of storm surge, and then you have waves on top of it, things get much worse. The centrifugal force of the storm has been weakened overnight, but make no mistakes, as President Obama was saying a few minutes ago, and as we've said for days, it's still a very serious problem for the East Coast of the United States. And is it going to do that hook shot where it ends up coming back down to the Bahamas by early next week? Tom Skilling joins us now, the greatest weather mind in America.
Steve, how are you?
Nice to talk to you, buddy. How are you?
To talk to you too, Steve. Well, very interested in all this. What a fascinating storm. We've got two hurricanes out in the Atlantic at the same time, and of course, Matthew's been capturing our attention. But do you know it's the first time, Steve, that we've had two Category 2 or stronger hurricanes, although Nicole is weakening right now. And before it's all over, Matthew may do that loop you were talking about up along the Carolina coast and back out to sea and then back to Florida again, albeit in highly weakened form by early next week. But these two hurricanes may spin around each other. It's an effect known as a the Fujiwara effect, where you actually have two tropical cyclones kind of spinning around a point, a central point, and that may be what's going on. But you are right. This storm is not done yet. I worked in Jacksonville, Florida, back in the mid-70s, and, you know, that's the largest in terms of aerial size. That's the largest city in the United States. Jacksonville is. It covers all of Duval County down there, and they have a big river that goes through, the St. John's River, and this storm is piling the water from the Atlantic up that river and creating this storm surge. And I was just looking at some of the peak wind gusts that have occurred. There have been gusts overnight around 100 miles per hour, in fact, over 100, down by Cape Canaveral, right on the beach there. But fortunately, the organized hurricane-strength winds have only been flirting with the eastern coastline, and that had always been considered a possibility, and it's done damage the length of Florida, but it looks like areas like south around Miami and areas like that, because the wind flow was offshore, away from the coast instead of on the coast, as it is up the coast in Jacksonville and St. Augustine and Daytona Beach right now, they avoided the huge storm surge issue that's going to be a real problem the rest of the afternoon and tonight in northern Florida and all, northeastern Florida and also the coast of Georgia and South Carolina. And something else, Steve, you know, Charleston, Hilton Head, areas like that, only a year ago they had record flooding that cost them about $1.5 billion and also 19 lives. I don't know whether you remember that, but historic flooding, and they're about ready to go through another round of very heavy rains as well. They had up to 23 inches out of that flood last year. This one may produce some 15-inch totals in some areas.
Tom, was this a strange storm because it was a 4 and then a 3 and then back to a 4? And like Steve said, the path it's taking is so strange. I didn't know Jacksonville hadn't had a hurricane warning in 17 years.
No, you know, that's a good point, Andrea. You know, a lot of people think Florida hurricanes. But the fact is that East Central and Northeast Coast has not very often hosted a major hurricane. In fact, when I was working down there, I remember the talk was about Hurricane Dora that was the last hurricane to have touched the coast there in northeast Florida, and that happened back in 1964. And somebody was pointing out today, this is the first time Jacksonville's been under a hurricane warning in 17 years. So it's not at all common in this area of Florida to get a hurricane. Now, on the other hand, you know, the Carolinas kind of jut out into the Atlantic, and they're a frequent target of hurricane landfall, so it's not uncommon there. But isn't that interesting? It really, you are absolutely right about that. The Northeast Floridians don't have a lot of experience with landfalling or land-flirting hurricanes.
So, Tom, the fact that this storm has stayed 30 miles or more off the coast is luck, or was there something that happened weather-wise that kept that track?
No, you know, Steve, anymore, these track forecasts that we generate in the field of meteorology are the product of, scores of computer model runs that are then averaged or ensembled, as we say. And there were track forecasts that put it just onshore. There are other ones that kept it just offshore. So we knew it was going to be there was going to be a flirtatious arrangement and relationship between the coastline and where the hurricane actually moved, and that's exactly what's happened. It probably, though, the fact that the eyewall itself, that's that donut of strong winds in the center of the storm within which the eye of the hurricane resides, is actually on the coast and has been working up the coast from, say, Volusia County, the area around Cape Canaveral and so forth, all night long. And it continues to be the case right now, but the strongest winds are just offshore. And, you know, these storms are rather compact. If you looked at, if you laid that hurricane over Chicago, the area in which it's producing hurricane force winds would run from roughly DeKalb over to South Bend. And so it's a rather compact area that has the hurricane force winds. And what's been happening is that DeKalb, western fringe area of the storm, word over Chicago, has been what's flirting with the east coast of Florida. The west coast has had strong winds. They've had wind gusts to 45 miles an hour in Tampa, on the Gulf side of Florida, but these are just squally winds with occasional thunderstorms. So they've, you know, and we're expected all along to miss out on, you know, the real dangerous part of this storm.
As the day goes on today, what's a good news scenario and what's a bad news scenario as you watch it?
Well, the bad news is the worst is yet to come for Jacksonville, St. Augustine, areas like that. It's working up the coast, and it goes next into St. Simons Island, Brunswick, Georgia, Savannah, Georgia, and then ultimately tonight and tomorrow up toward Hilton Head and Charleston, although they'll have effects before then. So the heart of the storm, the real action has moved out of Miami, out of West Palm Beach, out of, well, the Cape Canaveral area shortly, and is focusing now on northeast Florida and the Georgia, South Carolina, and North Carolina coasts. Ultimately, we'll get in on it, too. So, and storm surge will be the big, that's where the winds blow against the coastline. And in the case of this storm, it's going to raise the ocean level about 9 to 11 feet, they figure, in the St. Johns River around Jacksonville. That would be like raising Lake Michigan 9 to 11 feet and then put 20-foot breaking waves on it. And offshore, they have 30 to 40-foot waves. So imagine what that would do to Lakeshore Drive if we had a storm come up that raised the lake level 9 to 11 feet. And then you put 20-foot and 30-foot waves on top of it. That's what's hitting the coastline there right now.
We will watch you watch this throughout the day today. And, you know, as I said at the top of the show this morning, Tom, it's another example of thank God you're here and not there. We may, complain about the winter weather and worry about tornadoes in the summer, but a massive hurricane like this, it can move millions of people. That's rough.
Oh, boy, no question about it. Well, it's the most powerful concentrated wind machine on Earth. And, you know, we have our little tornadoes, little but deadly and terrible. But, this, you know, imagine a thunderstorm at its worst, Steve. And, you know, that'll pass in an hour or two in our area. And look at the damage it does. But picture this going on for 6 to 8 or 10 hours. And that's what a hurricane does. It produces the worst effects of the most powerful thunderstorm we can imagine, only it goes on and on and on. And so you're right. In a way, we're very blessed.
It's my friend Tom Skilling.